You know, as I listened to that beautiful, beautiful hymn, I couldn't help but think, does my knee bow at the name of Jesus? Is that how I live my life? I would ask you to reflect on that as well. Does your knee bow at the name of Jesus? Is he your king? Is he your everything? Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 11 through 14, as we continue in our sermon series, Who Am I? In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you who also were included in Christ, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God. Well, again, this morning we continue in our sermon series, Who Am I? And so far in our series, we have learned what it means to be chosen miraculously, what it means to be accepted completely, and what it means to be forgiven freely. And we've also seen the good that each of these has in our lives and how each of them shapes how we understand ourselves to be and our understanding of who we are, both in this present time and in the days to come. And today we shift our focus to God's plans for us, because in them what we find is our identity and our meaning and our future. You see, have you ever noticed that when it comes to planning, there's different types of people, right? You've got some people who like to plan everything. And if you've ever gone on something like a vacation with such a person, they usually have what's called an itinerary, right? And they mark out every step of the way, and there's usually never any time to relax in there. Or if it is, it's never long enough, right? And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got somebody who won't plan anything, even something as serious and important as a rehearsal dinner. They just fly by the seat of their pants, as the expression says. And most of us are somewhere in between that, right? I mean, maybe some of us are better planners than others, but some of us on all levels like to do our planning. But here's the thing about our plans. Sometimes they mess up, right? Anybody ever had a plan mess up? I can remember when back when I was a youth leader, which in some moments feels like ages ago, and in other moments feels just like yesterday. I mean, it's funny how time does that to you. And I can remember having the bright idea with the best of intentions, have a parents' night out fundraiser, followed up by a lock-in, followed up by breakfast with Santa, all in one weekend. I thought, hey, we're already here. Let's just knock all this out all at once and get all this fundraising done, be a blessing to the community, help people go Christmas shopping, do all the things they need to do. Well, little did I know how exhausting that would be, because we had our biggest ever parents' night out. Almost 50 kids showed up, probably half of them from the neighborhood. So by the time we finished that, we were done. I mean, we were wore out. All the youth, I had all this fun night of games and activities. Now everybody was done laying down asleep by about 1 a.m. And then getting up that early, we had to wake up at 6 and start the cooking and start getting everything ready. And we had one of our biggest breakfasts with Santa's ever. And I just remember, if you want to see what zombies would have looked like, this would have been them. Everybody's eyes were glazed over, including myself. I mean, we were worn out. We had our most successful fundraising weekend ever. But we all came to the conclusion that we would never do it again. And while the parents' night out went well, and while the breakfast with Santa went well, the lock-in was a complete disaster and really a waste of time. because what we needed most during those hours was sleep. And that's what I mean about our plans, right? We make them with the best of intentions, but sometimes they crash and burn. And I imagine, a lot of us can relate to that this morning. And maybe you've had plans like that, and you wish you could go back and maybe fix them or plan it a little differently. Aren't you glad that God's plans don't mess up? I'm glad about that this morning. I'm glad when my Father in heaven makes a plan, his plans are perfect and they unfold according to his will. And that's what Paul's talking about in this passage that we're going to look at this morning, is we're going to explore what it means to be planned providentially, to be planned by a sovereign God who knows all, has a power and authority over all, including what's going on in our lives around us. And so I want to highlight three things for you that I believe are important for us as we reflect on who we are. And the first one is this: because I am planned providentially, my position is by grace. Because I am planned providentially, my position is by grace. What do I mean by that? I mean it's by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works, lest you could boast. Everything that God is bringing into your life, everything that he has planned for you, is by his grace. It is a gift from him to you. It's not because you deserved it. It's not because you earned it. It's not because suddenly Kenny Butcher at age 37, which I am, suddenly I became good enough for it. No, it's all by grace. See, the grace of God through Jesus Christ is one of the most profound gifts humanity has ever received. In Christ, we discover our oneness with God. In Christ, we discover forgiveness and redemption. In Christ, we discover healing. In Christ, we discover a future that would have never been possible apart from him. That's the plan. Notice what Paul says. In him, in Christ, he's talking about, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purposes of his will. You see, one of the biggest stumbling blocks for the Jews, for the Jewish people, was self-reliance. They couldn't accept grace. No matter how hard they tried, they thought that their favor from God was something to be earned. And that was the only way they could walk with him. And that's what they thought made them worthy. And so they trusted in themselves to earn their position rather than in the grace of Jesus Christ to receive it. When we think about being planned providentially, that means that God has put me where I'm at. That means that God is the one, if I'm allowing and choosing to walk into that plan, he's the one who unfolds things in my lives. He's the one, if it weren't for the Holy Spirit, none of us would even know Jesus. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the truth of the gospel. You've been planned providentially by him. See, the concept of being chosen by God implies trusting Christ for the works of salvation rather than yourself. Trusting Christ rather than yourself. And this means trusting Christ first and foremost for your righteousness. What did the Apostle Paul say? There is none that are righteous, no, not one. All right, so that means that Kenny Butcher on his best day, or any of us on our best day, we cannot be righteous. We fall, we stumble. But we're covered by the righteousness of Christ. We trust Christ to do the work in our heart that needs to be done through the Holy Spirit. We trust that it's in Christ that we've been set apart and that our spirit has come alive and been regenerated. It also means trusting Christ for your wisdom Cindy talked about this just a few moments ago. Is it better to be smart or to be wise? I'll take wisdom over intelligence any day. And that too comes from God. Think about what the Lord said, the greatest commandment. Love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul and with all your strength. The only way you can ever do that is through Jesus Christ and the help of the Holy Spirit. Any other effort to do that, to honor God in that way, will fall flat. It also means trusting Christ for your riches. And when I use that word riches there, I'm talking about your values. What matters to you? What you're trying to attain? The world has a completely different set of values than we do. Right? The world wants you to have a bigger house, a nicer car, a higher position. Christ wants you to surrender more of yourself to Him, to give Him more of your heart. He's more concerned with what He's doing inside you than what He's doing even around you. So trusting Christ for your riches, focusing on riches that will last for all eternity, rather than something that can be here today and gone tomorrow. You know, I think about Dave Ramsey, and you know, if you've never heard his testimony, he was a wealthy man, and he did it all the world's way. And he fell flat on his face. The economy tanked, and he had to file for bankruptcy. And he said, I'm never doing it the world's way again. And so he started a pursuit of doing things God's way. And now he's a millionaire multiple times over. And he's generous with what he's been blessed with. And his riches are not even in his wealth. They're in the things of God. And then the last one is trusting Christ for your strength. God doesn't need you to be strong. God needs you to allow Jesus Christ to be your strength. He needs you to allow Christ to work through you, not you to work without Him. That's where you always get tired. You always get fatigued and be ready to give up. You see, far too many people struggle to trust Christ. But as believers, or if you're here today and you're not a believer, it all comes down to a choice we make. So many people will trust Christ with maybe their salvation, but they don't trust Him day to day. And their identity is more caught up in who they are by their own effort than who they are in Christ. It reminds me of this photographer I read about in one of the many books I'm reading. I tell people I'm such a slow reader, so I read like 4 books at a time. And it makes me feel better about taking so long in one. And so I'm reading about 4 different ones. And one of them, I came across this story of a photographer who went to Alaska to take pictures for 3 months. He went in the spring, perfect time to go, had 500 rolls of film, 1,400 pounds of supplies, and multiple firearms to keep him safe. And come November, they found his body, and he had died 225 miles from the nearest city. And after an investigation, they figured out what happened. He had planned everything meticulously except for his flight home. And he had no way out, no way to contact people. I want you to know that that's what we do when we don't trust Christ in our day-to-day lives. We give ourselves no way out. We might plan everything down to the last detail, but there's always something we'll miss or something that comes out of the blue, and then we wonder why we're struggling and failing so much. And it's because we haven't made allowance for Christ. Your spirit within you longs to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. It's ready to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. It is following the leading of the Holy Spirit. But it's a different story when it comes to your soul and your body. Because they're following, half the time they're following the Spirit, half the time they're following the flesh or the world or the many different names that Paul gives it. And it's up to us to choose whether we're going to trust Christ and receive the grace He gives, or to just receive a part of it and then try and do everything else on our own. Our second thought is, because I am planned providentially, my praise is for Christ. I don't know about you, but I've loved the hymns this morning. You know why? Because at the heart of each and every one of them is praising Jesus Christ. It's praising His holy name. Giving Him the glory that He is worthy of. Paul here indicates that this is one of the chief ends of the Christian. He says, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. And he's talking about Jewish believers there. That as they put their hope in Christ, they would be able to be for His praise and for His glory. And that's more than just praising Him with their lips. Right? What we've done today is great. Coming together and praising the Lord and worshiping Him and giving praise and glory to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are called to do that. It is biblical to do that. To come together and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But that's not the only thing that honors God. You see, it is one thing to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is quite another to give Him operational control of your entire being. It's quite another to do that. But this is necessary to bring glory to God. You want to praise God this morning? You want to bring glory to God this morning? Give Him your heart. Stop trying to wrestle or balance between the things of this world and the things of the Spirit. Instead, live by the Spirit. Instead, allow the Spirit to be the one who operates within you. We've been talking about this on Wednesday night just this week. We said we have a choice to make each and every day, and that is which spirit we are going to allow to be operative in our heart. Are we going to allow the spirit of the world, also known as Satan, or are we going to allow the Spirit of God to operate in our hearts and to have control? Are our values going to come from the world, or are they going to come from God? That's our choice. Even after we've been born again, that's still our choice each and every day. And we have to decide. You see, the Holy Spirit is ready to apply everything that Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. Everything. He's ready to apply it into your life, into your heart. But you and I, we have to choose. Do we want it? Do we want sin to be dead in us? Do we want our old self, our old nature to be dead? And do we want to have new life in Him? That's our choice. And then our last thought, because I'm planned providentially, my assurance is from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that is here, that is active, that is dwelling within each and every one of you. Listen to these words. And you, he's speaking to the Gentiles, the Ephesian believers there, also were included in Christ when you heard the message of faith, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. Anybody who's ever bought a house before knows what an earnest payment is, right? You have to give an earnest payment guaranteeing that you're agreeing to follow through on the purchase of this home. And if you suddenly decide not to, you know what happens to that money? you lose it. This is your guarantee. Well, here's the thing with God. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee that you can take Him at His word. Because you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Now it is God who makes both of us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set is a seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to become, what is to come. You see, the Spirit is an earnest deposit, much like the one when purchasing a new home. He is a guarantee that God will follow through on all the promises that He has made to you. Who are you this morning? You are God's own. That is who you are. You've been chosen. You've been predestined, set aside since the disruption of the world. He chose you to be in Christ, to know Christ. He's giving you the opportunity to come to Him and choose. What's that song we always sing? Whosoever will shall come. That's the opportunity each of us has. But it's not just with salvation we're talking about. Not just this one moment of time. We're talking about that's a choice you get to make each and every day. Am I going to come to Jesus today? Is my knee going to bow to Him today? Or am I going to let the plans the world has for me control me? Who am I going to allow to operate in my heart? Who are you this morning? My prayer is that your answer will be, I'm someone who's planned providentially, who allows the Holy Spirit to have a place of rule and authority in my life as I draw closer and closer to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, we need your help with this. We know what it's like to be tempted. We know what it's like to be drawn in by the attractions of the world. We pray that you would help us to make our way to you, to help us choose every morning to walk with you, to be planned providentially, and to know that you've given us a choice and freedom to allow your Spirit to have more and more of our hearts. May we accept that in faith today and every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn, I want to invite you this morning. If you sense that Holy Spirit, which is that deposit, that earnest payment, leading you this morning, asking you to address something in your life, asking you to humble yourself before the Lord, to walk in and submit to His authority, I invite you, come down to this altar. Choose to come down to this altar and follow Him. Let the Holy Spirit be the one who guides you. And let God continue to work out His plans in your life as you choose to walk in them.